is beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a glorious day it is today. But you know, whether it's raining or sunshine, I know that God is on the other side. And he sends whatever weather it is for our good. And isn't it fantastic that the Bible is a book of preparation? Yes, it is. You can be comfortable or uncomfortable. And you know, it's going to be pretty uncomfortable down there in hell, isn't it? But talk about, that's the outer limits of uncomfortableness. People don't want their comfort zone to be violated today by hearing of the gospel. Well, someday their comfort zone is truly going to be totally obliterated, and they'll have no protection at all. But if you prepare, and the Bible says to prepare, the first step in preparation is to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Accept Jesus. That's the real preparation you've got. Otherwise, you have nothing. A lot of people think they have things. That's the problem. They have things. They think they have things that will protect them from the storm. But you know, even in the natural world, have we not seen tornadoes and hurricanes and typhoons and earthquakes, flooding, incredible weather catastrophes throughout the United States? Many areas never expected it before, but they were hit from the east to the west coast, even down to the Gulf Coast. And here again we see man really has no protection even from the elements, does he? And someday, you know, Peter says the whole earth will be burnt up. Men will be scorched. And even mountains literally will disappear. There have been no doubt times when entire continents on this world vanished as probably as God was creating the earth. Who knows what fantastic things occurred during those 6 days. It just shows what God can do. And someday they're going to all be dissolved. And he'll create new heavens and a new earth. And even Peter said, knowing these things to be true. In other words, knowing these things are going to happen. Then what manner of men should we be? That's really the question here at Bible Home Church we ask. What manner of men ought we to be? I remember reading of a German pastor, a true man of God, and he was called, literally, he and a few other pastors, because they had preached against Nazism. Hitler brought them right into his chancellery. They got him out of bed at night, the secret police, the Gestapo. They were not even allowed really to dress except just hurriedly, hadn't shaved, hadn't combed their hair, brought by the police right into the presence of the Chancellor of the Third Reich. And he screamed and he hollered at these pastors of the Christian faith. And he said, you will be sent to concentration camps. You and your whole family will die. You'll be tortured if you speak out again against the German Third Reich and what we're doing. When they left, Hitler turned to his henchmen and he laughed. He said, did you see those sniveling cowards? They were frightened to death. We won't hear from them anymore. And you know what? And generally, he was right. Out of all of the thousands of pastors, Christian pastors in the nation of Germany, only a small handful continued with the faith. Martin Niemöller was one of those. And a good friend of his, both of them were being tormented and persecuted by the Germans. And after this incident, can you imagine going right into the face of Hitler and him screaming and hollering, his face contorted, telling you, you and your whole family will die and be sent to the concentration camps first to be tortured? Can you imagine that kind of terror and pressure? And a pastor friend of his said, Why is God doing this to us? Brother Niemöller, why is God doing this to us? But Pastor Niemöller thought of it a different way. You see, he didn't look at it as God punishing them. That wasn't God. That was the devil. That was tribulation being caused good Christian people. And Niemöller looked him in the eye, and he said, God is testing us to see what manner of men we are. You know, friends, we've never been really tested in America. We've had prosperity. We've had good times. But imagine being tested in such a way. God is testing us to see what manner of men we are. I do not know if that was so. I don't know if God was testing them. Brother Martin Niemöller thought that was what was happening. And he determined he would pass the test. And so that very Sunday, he gave a sermon, a biblical sermon, about evil. And he was arrested and taken away. Well, the question now is, my friends, we face many situations and perils in these last days. And we're having a series, of course, on the prophecies in the letters of Paul. We're talking about the rapture, in fact, the catching up. We're going to continue talking about that in coming weeks. And a lot of people don't seem to understand. They say, why should we listen to such sermons? Because, after all, we'll be gone. We'll be raptured. Nothing will happen to us. We're impervious. We're immune to torment. We're immune to the devil. Why? We have God. We're going to be prosperous, and we're going to live great, and we're going to drive Lexuses and Grand Cherokee SUVs, and we're going to have all kind of manner of nice homes and clothes, and we can buy things, and we're going to have this new MP3 music player, whatever it is, that connects with our computer, and, oh, we've just got it made. Oh, the economy may go into a little down spin, but it'll come back, and we'll all be as rich and happy as before. Really? That's what they thought in Germany, too. Things were prosperous. The Nazis actually prospered Germany. Oh, things were great. They had never seen such things. They were building new cars, homes. The Autobahn, which is their freeway system, was being built. It was marvelous what was going on. But then came great troubles, great tribulation. And God is promising us something. He will always be with us in time of tribulation. He was with Martin Niemöller, I am sure. Nevertheless, trouble came Martin Niemöller's way. God was with Job. We can read about that in the Bible. But nevertheless, troubles came his way. It all turns out just fine. But sometimes you need strength for the journey, my friends. And the only way you can have strength is to understand the big picture of how God has a master plan for your life. Yes, your life. You say, well, I know he has a prophetic plan for the world, but what does that have to do with me? You don't understand. Do you remember when you were a little kid and you had a puzzle you'd have to put together, and it'd come in off, seemed like a thousand pieces? But when you finished it, of course, there was a picture there. My friend, you are one piece of that puzzle. The puzzle cannot be completed without your piece being put into place and interlocking. Then the picture comes more clear. Then we can see. Then the image is made there. Yes, God has you in the picture somewhere there. And unless you do what you're supposed to do for God, unless you pass the test, and it doesn't require your strength, Martin Niemöller had no strength in himself. So God's not asking you for strength. He asked for faith. I was listening to a marvelous Christian song yesterday, playing a CD of the Cathedrals. And I think Jake Hess, the old gospel singer, I shouldn't call him old, but he is getting up there in a little years. I don't think he'd mind me saying that. I don't know how people can maintain such a smooth, magnificent voice at that age. I'm already getting a little raspy here. And I'm not anywhere near Jake Hess's age, I don't think. But you know something? I love the song. It said that prayer reaches heaven. When you pray, it's heard in heaven. But it says faith opens the doors. Well, you don't want your prayers just to go to blank walls. Now, God hears. He hears every prayer. But it takes faith, this old gospel song said, to open the doors. He wants to know you believe in him. You know, as pastor of this church, I want to know you believe in me, and yet I know I'm imperfect, I'm flawed, but I want you to believe in me, and that's why I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to go out and commit adultery. I'm not going to go out and take drugs. I'm not going to go out and embezzle money. I'm not going to divorce my wife and run off with some other woman. I'm not going to get into false teachings and heresies. Why? Because I'm going to stay close to God. Because I know that God will give me a hedge of protection from those things. Now, the devil may torment me in other ways. His agent may torment me in other ways. I could be cast into prison. I could be falsely accused of things, and I'm accused all the time of things that I didn't do. They don't bother me at all. They bother me a little bit when I read something that somebody said on some radio program or the internet, and it's not true. And especially when it's so ridiculous, but I think my friends understand that to be so. They know that you're going to be lied about. But woe would be me if I read something that were true. Now that, I would be crushed. But that's not going to happen. I have no strength to prevent it. Temptations come my way. They come your way. You have no strength. Don't deceive yourself. Don't think you stand, the Bible says, when you're just about ready to fall. But what can keep you up? What can keep you steady? What can keep you going? Jesus Christ. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light, Jesus said. That's an old idiom of the Jews. I'll tell you what it means. You keep your eye on Jesus. You keep single-minded. You keep devoted to the faith. And you'll get along just fine. That's the way I feel about it. I keep my eye on the goal, pressing what Paul said was toward the mark. That's what you do. Oh, the devil sends you darts. He sends you temptations. He torments you. He oppresses you. But so what? Big deal. I've been awakened at night by nightmares and things like that. I just pray, and then they go away. Of course the devil's going to do things. He's going to try to even send images into your mind. And I pray, and they go away. I've gone in occult bookstores to do research. Yes, to expose the occult. I go in and I see what they're doing in there. And I've been attacked by demons in those kinds of places. But the only times I've ever been attacked was when I didn't pray up before I went in. You can't pray the day before or the morning before. And that evening, you go in the devil's den and think you're protected. So I'll tell you what I do anytime now. Anytime I'm in a situation that I know is going to be devilish, I pray just before I go into that battle. I do. Lord, protect me. Help me. Now, I remember one time I was in the largest New Age occult bookstore in the world. That's what they advertise themselves. I think there was another one out in California that claimed to be as big, but they both lied probably. Who knows which was the biggest. But there I was, and I hadn't prayed up before I went in. And there I was browsing through the horrible Hindu and Buddhist and satanic and witchcraft books and looking at them and seeing the magazines because I needed some just little chinks of research because I was going to expose some of those things in a book. And immediately I felt oppression. I knew the devil was there. And I literally felt a physical presence touch my forehead, as if they wanted to go right into my brain. And let me tell you something, my friends. I didn't care who was around me. I didn't care what was going on. I stopped what I was doing, and I bowed my head, and I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me for not praying before I came into this book store. Help me and protect me, Lord Jesus. That's just a simple prayer. I didn't have any kind of a formula. And I ended it in the name of Jesus. I asked this. And let me tell you something, my friends. I was freed up immediately. Whatever presence that was left me. And boy, it didn't bother me again. I suspect that God or his angel sent a message to those entities, leave this man alone. He is ours. Get out of his way and let him do his business. And I just marched through that store. I got what I wanted. I found it. I paid it at the cash register, and I left that store. And when I got in the car, I smiled and thanked the Lord. You see, you got to be prepared. Well, if you mess up, you don't prepare. You better do some tall praying fast. And that's what I did. But it's never failed that God protected me. I see these movies, you know, where they're, you know, they're tormented by vampires or demons or something. I hear about these movies. And, you know, nothing they do seems to work. The demons are always more powerful. Baloney. To use a good old American word, baloney. There is no devil that can stand. You remember in the tombs, Jesus just came close to him. The devils, legions of them, cried out, why do you torment us? Oh, in the presence of Jesus, my friends, devils are tormented by his very presence. Well, we've got a very short program today. A very short program today. And first, though, we're going to have the old song that, man, isn't this a good one? I love to tell the story. This is from a album I've got here called Treasured Hymns. Actually, Sandra here in our ministry got this for us. From Golden Years. Treasured Hymns from Golden Years. Published by Disc out of California. And here is a great one. I love to tell the story. Then right after that, we're going to go into more of the prophecies of Paul. We'll continue to the end of today. And next week, we're going to talk more about prophecy. Here is I Love to Tell the Story.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story who know it best, seem hungering and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song,
I love to tell the story. I mentioned that that was Sandra's album, but it was not. I was mistaken. And I was corrected. That's right. During the music, that was Sister Heintz. H-E-I-N-T-Z. She's out of Harrison, Arizona. And I recall now, Sister Heintz, Arkansas. I messed up again. That's A-R. That's Arkansas. Harrison, Arkansas. That's in the beautiful area there, up in the mountains of Arkansas. And Sister Heintz sent us a package, and I had peeled on the radio here for wonderful and beautiful music, especially the old style-y gospel songs, slow and melodious and inspiring. And Sister Heintz has sent us 3 albums, and this is one of them. So I want to give credit where credit is due. Well, Sister Heintz, do you see how much you've helped us now? We're getting your music out around the world on Bible Home Church, and God bless you, and we appreciate it so much. Sister Heintz from Harrison, Arkansas. Now let's continue that series that we're working on this week. We're going to have it next week as well, and for several weeks, the prophecies in the letters of Paul. Well, that's what God does for you. You get a lot more smart when you come to Jesus. You junk a lot of what the world taught you. You really do. I've had to renounce that. I've had to unlearn things. Gets programmed in your mind. I've had to say, Lord, take that out of my thought system, and he did. Now, according to the world, I guess God made me dumb. I don't know. But I tell you what, I know a lot more things now than I ever knew then. But I used to teach college. Oh, I was an expert. But have I not warned you about those experts? Friends, I'll never forget the one time that I had that discussion with Madeline Murray O'Hare, the late atheist. She founded the American Atheist Foundation. She was the one that got prayer taken out of schools years and years ago. Oh, what a horrible lady she was. I feel so sorry. I do. I feel so sorry for her. Oh, a lot of people hated her. She claimed one time on a radio program that Christians would come and do bad things. They would break out windows in her house. They would paint on her sidewalk. They ran their car over flower beds. She said Christians are the most hateful people. And I thought to myself, Christians didn't do that. Could have been lying. Maybe it never happened. Because she certainly wanted to give Christians a bad public image. But even if those things did happen and she were telling the truth, if Madeline Murray O'Hare told the truth, those were not Christians. There's a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians. Just like those experts that give you their own private interpretation of the Bible, and it makes no sense except to them and the world. Madeline Murray O'Hare, she berated me. She said, how could a man who's taught at 3 universities and has written best-selling books and was a former U.S. Air Force officer, how can a man like you, a learned, educated man, be so stupid as to believe in a God? That's what she told me. Sometimes, my friends, your destiny lies in front of you right here on earth. There's some people that have great rewards here on earth, and then they go before judgment, and then it all comes down on them. The story of Lazarus and the rich man is very instructive in that. But some people get their comeuppance right here on earth. What you reap, you'll also sow. Madeline Murray O'Hare, she took in convicted criminals, probably because they were Christian haters, into her foundation and gave them jobs, even executive jobs. They ended up taking her out and killing her. But first they made her cough up all the gold and the cash that she had. She had been robbing, evidently, her own group. It was a nonprofit organization, but she had enriched herself. She had gold bars. She had money. She and a son and a daughter were all taken hostage by these murderous atheist criminals, and they were killed. Their bodies were burnt and buried on a ranch here in the state of Texas. Madeline Murray O'Hare met her fate. I wonder if, before she died, I wonder if she gave her life to Jesus. I asked her during that one interview I had with her. I said, Madeline Murray O'Hare, I'm praying for you. Do you think you'll ever change? And you know, for just a brief moment, she suddenly got soft. She says, I change. Everybody changes just in the course of living, but I don't think I'll ever change my beliefs, no. But I could see at that moment she was almost wavering. And I wish I'd called her again. It was the only conversation I had with her. I told her I'd pray for her, and I was going to pray that God would help her to change. She was very kind to me at the end of the conversation when I told her that. I guess she thought I was going to be one of those guys that told her she was going to go straight to hell and all that. Probably a lot of people told her that, and they weren't wrong. I'm not criticizing them for telling her that. It's good that you tell people what's going to happen to them if they don't repent. But in my case, I asked her to change. I told her I was going to pray for her to change and become a born-again Christian.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on the prophecies and the letters of Paul.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.